We're going to be in the book of Psalms, the book of Psalms, chapter number 27. I have to watch myself, or I'd preach out of Psalms just a whole big bunch, I'll tell you. In fact, I use it a whole big bunch anyway. I love the book of Psalms. Sometimes I'll get through reading my Bible, and I think, now what book am I going to start reading again now? Now, before I know it, I'll be back over there in Psalms again. And I can associate with the book of Psalms. I can associate some of the things that David experienced in his soul. I believe, according to that song, I believe I know how David felt several times in his life under certain circumstances. And so I hope you'll pray. Now, I need you to really pray, because I want to get this across. I'm not so much interested in outline and maybe giving you points that just stick out in your mind. But I basically want to give you two thoughts tonight. And I hope if I can get these two thoughts across, that it'll change everybody's life here tonight. I saw this truth in Waycross, Georgia. And I heard a fella get up and preach. This man was had a speech impediment. He was stuttering. And I don't believe that I ever heard as great a message on prayer as I heard that man preach. He made a statement that just stuck out in my soul, and I've used it so many times since then. He said, when you can't pray like you want to, pray as you would. And if you just pray like you can. You know, a lot of people think prayer is some flowery thing. If you can't pray like you want to or you would, just pray like you can. I believe that'll help you. You know, sometimes prayer is just a simplicity of a statement before God. I read where one of the instruments of the Welsh revival was a little old girl just standing up and got brokenhearted. And she just cried out these words, "Help, Lord." And I got to thinking, that's something. But you know, David said that years ago, didn't he? Just, "Help, Lord." And sometimes that's all I know how to pray. "Help, Lord. I don't know what to do next." And he made a statement there that I got into my Bible and I got to searching. And I want to preach from 27 Psalms. We'll start reading, and I'll give you my text when I get to it, starting with verse number 1. The Lord is my light, my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. I want you to get that little phrase there, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Verse number 5, for in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the strength of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. When thou saidst, I want you to get this verse now. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. I'll be preaching upon verse number 8. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Heavenly Father, I pray now tonight that thy Holy Spirit would just give us a freedom and, Lord, unction, and, Lord, give us the ability to get across tonight the message that we feel upon our soul. Dear Lord, without divine help, I fear that I'll not get across this message tonight as I desire, and I believe it'd be pleasing for you that they hear it in the manner that I'd like to express it. And so, Lord, help us to express it the way it ought to be said. Lord, help us to say it right. Give us the liberty, Lord, by give us the verses to our memory that we have studied. When we leave this place, dear God, we'll know something more about what it means to seek your face and to seek what God would have for us. We'll praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Now, there's two or three statements down in that passage that I believe deals with seeing the face of God. You'll notice down in verse number 4, he said, one thing have I desired, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, to the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Now, the book of Isaiah said that when Jesus would come into the world, said he'd be like a root out of dry ground. And he said that when we shall see him physically, he said there'd be no beauty in him that we should desire. Now, if you see any beauty in the Son of God, I tell you where you're going to have to find it out. You're going to have to find it in the house of God. I don't know of any place where God ever revealed himself like in the house of God. So many people don't know the value of the house of God tonight. I see so many laying out and skipping and missing. And, oftentimes the very presence of God will be manifested in a service that everybody needed to have been there to see it. But you had to be there in order to experience that. I think everybody can associate with that. Old Thomas, one time, they came and to Thomas and said, Thomas, we've seen the risen Savior. And Thomas, I don't believe that. No, y'all just mistaken on that. He said, except I see him with my own eyes, and I'm able to put my hand in his side and feel the nail prints in his hand, I'll not believe. You know what the Bible said about Thomas? Said when Jesus appeared, Thomas was not there. He was missing. And so Jesus showed himself unto those disciples. But now, I believe tonight that God has something in store for those that go to the house of God. You'll see something about Jesus that you'll never find anywhere else in the world except in the house of God. But now here's what I want to preach on tonight. You'll notice down there, David said, when the Lord said, seek my face, he said, Lord, thy face will I seek. Now, I got this, and I won't, by the help of God, if I have to get real slow and spend time retracing myself, I want to make a difference between what we experience in the house of God. Now, there's two things about God that everybody seeks, and we ought to seek them. I have nothing against seeking them. Oftentimes, we seek the hand of God. I want to emphasize that we seek the hand of God when we ought to be seeking the face of God. Now, there's a world of difference between both of them. I hope tonight when I get through, you'll know the difference between seeking the hand of God and seeking the face of God. Now, I got to looking at this passage, and did you know there's a difference? There's a world of difference about seeking his face and seeking the hand. Now, the hand of God, as I can discern in the Bible, has to do with his power. all the way through the Word of God, His hand has to do with His power. Now, the Bible said, for instance, if you'll turn with me to Isaiah chapter number 59 and verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 1, very familiar passage of Scripture. It said, verse number 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." It's talking about the power of God to deliver that. It's talking about the hand of God being able to lift us up out of sin. How many times have you read this in the Bible? Oftentimes, when the enemy would come out against Israel, it said that the hand of God was against them. Sometimes when Israel was out there and they were doing battle, it would say something like this, "And the hand of God was with them." Sometimes it was against people, sometimes it was with people, but all times there is power in the hand of God. The Bible said that Jesus is the Son of God's right hand. That's a hand of power. That power to do things. And you know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid that in our churches, about the only thing that we know about God is what His hand is able to do for us. Now the hand of God, I believe I could associate a few things with the hand of God. God's hand is able to help you. I believe everybody could say amen to that. He's helped me. I want to declare unto you, He has helped me out of many of my troubles. He has helped me when nobody else could help me. There's been times, friend, when I didn't have nobody could help me, but the hand of God was able to help me. He was able with His power to lift me up and to sustain me when nothing else would do it. That's the hand of God. I believe I could say this, the hand of God is able to aid you and assist you. You know, I think old brother, Steve Allen, you know, Brother Allen doesn't have any eyes. He can't see with natural eyes. You know what Brother Allen needs? He needs a hand. How many times you've seen somebody get right here on the front row? I've seen it many a time. Brother Richardson, somebody let reach their hand out to them and he would aid them and assist them. And I'll tell you something, that's what the hand of God's doing for me and you tonight. It's the hand of God that's leading us and directing us and aiding us and helping us and assisting us. There'd be nobody in this audience tonight be able to live for God. I believe that old black group, Johnson, is that his name? I said, "I can't even walk without him holding my hand. I couldn't even get out of bed this morning had it not been the hand of God aided and abetted me and assisted me and lifted me up. I could not have breathed this morning had it not been for the power of God manifested in the hand of God." I get to look at that word hand of God, and the word hand of God denotes God's provision for us. You know what? It was God that fed them with His own hand. Did you read that? It said that He fed Israel with His own hand. You saw Brother Broughton, they went out yonder and they gathered the manna. Yes, but it was the hand of God that rained it down upon them. The Bible said that with His hand, He cast out the worlds into their being, and He made the seas with the finger of His hand. I want to tell you something. There's power tonight in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something about the hand of God that has all power in it. And all heaven and earth is held together by the power of God. I look at that word hand, and it's that hand that lifts you up. It's that hand that keeps you standing.
It's that hand that defeats your enemies. It's that hand that gives you your provision. I have a roof up above me tonight. Hallelujah. That's the hand of God. I have a good place to sleep. That's the hand of God. I have food on my table. That's the hand of God. I have shoes on my feet tonight. That's the hand of God. I got clothes on my back. That's the hand of God tonight. I got breath in my lungs. That's the hand of God tonight. I have ability to walk and see and hear and move. And that is the hand of God. Everybody knows something about the hand of God. We don't know much about the face of God. It's a hand of God that we're seeking. You know what you know what most of us seeking when we pray? We're seeking the hand of God. Be honest about it. Let's be honest about it. We're seeking the hand of God. We're seeking something like this. Help our sick. Give us enough money to pay our bills. Lord, my car's tore up and I need it fixed. Lord, I'm sick. I can't sleep. Would you give me sleep tonight? We're most of us seeking the hand of God, aren't we? Everybody knows something about the hand of God. I find, and I'll just make a confession, when I saw this, I came to a sudden realization, folks, that most of my prayers, brother, was seeking the hand of God. I got to listening to myself pray, and almost all the while I was praying, I was seeking the hand of God. I was wanting God to do something for me. Let's be honest tonight. Isn't that basically where we're at? We're all the time wanting God to do. Some people that never need God, when they get in trouble, they seek His hand. Oh my, how many times the hand of God. And friend, I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. You stick with me tonight, because I'm not bad-mouthing that. But I want to show you that there's something better than that. I want to show you that there's an area that's a lot better than seeking the hand of God. Oh, how many times I get to reading these old-timers of olden days. And you know, I got to reading the prayer of John Bunyan. I got to reading some of his prayers. And the days that he went before God, not seeking anything, not seeking any food, not seeking rest, not seeking shelter. But he just sought the face of God and wanted God to do something for his soul. We don't know much about the face of God, do we? I want you to get this. The face of God has to do with a revelation of Himself to you. Has nothing to do with His power. The hand of God has to do with God supplying. But I believe the face of God has to do with worship and adoration and closeness and fellowship and glorying in His presence. I got to looking at the Bible. He always reveals Himself to us in love. When I speak about the love of God, I'm talking about the face of Jesus. When I speak about grace, I'm talking about the face of Jesus. When I speak about relationship and fellowship and worshiping, I'm talking about seeking the face of God. And David said, when God said to me, David, you seek my face. David said, oh God, thy face I will seek. Lord, do not turn your face from me. My little old grandbaby, he has taught me many lessons on this. He stays with me. Maybe once a month I can talk him into it. And he'll sleep with me. And in the middle of the night, he is the floppinest little thing that I ever saw in my life. He'd start one end of the bed and go all around it and end back up where he started out by the time morning comes. But he doesn't like to be alone. He never likes to feel that he's alone. And I remember the first time that he ever slept with me. This little old bitty year-old boy. I was sleeping there real good one night. Boy, I was a snoring up a storm, and I heard him. I felt him flop over, and I felt his little hand feeling around like that. And directly I felt that hand come across my forehead, and he rubbed it down my face, and he kept his little hand over there rubbing my face. And then he turned back over and went to sleep and slept the rest of the night. And I woke up that night. God taught me something in the middle of the night. I said, all that little old boy was wanting to do was to know my face was there. Wanting to know that I was there. He didn't need toys. He didn't need suckers. He didn't need new shoes. All he was wanting to know of the face of someone that he loved was right there beside of him. Hey, I want to tell you something. There's been many a night that I have flipped over and sought for the face of God. And oh, when I found the face of God, oh, you talk about giving rest and peace to my soul. I just to find the face of God was all that I needed to help me. All that little old boy was wanting was my face. And you know, I think what Jesus wanting is just somebody just to put their hand over and feel his face and touch his face. I kindly love what old brother Allen says. Brother Richardson, you probably heard him. Brother Allen said that he hoped that when he got to heaven, he'd felt with those fingers all of his years. You've heard him tell that. These fingers has been his eyes. And he said he was just like when he gets to heaven before God just gives him perfect sight. He'd just like to reach up and just feel the face of the Lord Jesus. You know what? I believe tonight, friend, I believe God wants us to seek his face, don't you? Sometimes we're so busy seeking his hand and we forget that if we'd learn how to worship God and we'd learn how to have relationship and fellowship and glory and peace in the presence of God. Hand of God basically is to get us out of trouble. Be quite honest with you. Hand to God, most time we're seeking God to get us out of something we probably got into. But the face of God will keep you out of trouble. Face of God will answer a lot of your troubles. I've got people right now wanting the hand of God for their marriages. Hey, let me just throw this out here. I got two or three couples that are having marriage troubles. And they're wanting help. I told one of them this, and I'm sure they didn't like it. I said, I can come over there and counsel y'all all I can and give you everything I know out of the Bible. But I tell you what I am. I'm a little bitty band-aid on your problem. I'm not going to solve your problem. They're wanting the hand of God. And I'll tell you, if they'd seek the face of God, their marriage problems would dissolve. They'd be answered overnight. But, oh, we want the hand of God when we're in a mess and we can't get out of it. And if we had sought the face of God, we never would have got in the mess to start out with. We don't know how to worship God. We don't know how to come before him. We don't know how to get before him and be honest with him anymore. And therefore, we have to constantly say, oh, God, help me out of this and provide this and help me out of this and give me this. But if we're right with God, this is the confidence that we have. That if we ask anything, we know that he heareth us. And how can we know that he hears us? Because we've seen the face of God. I remember when us eight kids used to sit back on old Liberty Baptist Church and we'd get to gouging each other and pinching each other, and my dad would be up there listening, and he'd turn around and he'd snap that finger and he'd give us that boy like that, and he didn't have to say a word. His face told it all. His face, when he gave us that like that, his face said, "Son, you're going to get it when you get home." He didn't say a word. You know what we'd do? We'd straighten out and be good the rest of the church because we saw his face. I want to tell you, when you see the face of Jesus, you'll know, you'll be sensitive. You'll be sensitive. You know, it's amazing how me and my wife thinks alike today. We've been married 30 years. We married 30 years in October. In fact, I believe we's down here October. We married 30 years. And you know what? It's amazing how we even think alike anymore. We'll sometimes be thinking about the same thing because we know how each other feels. When you've looked upon each other's face for 30 years, You don't have to be a genius to find out what the other's feeling and thinking about. That's the same way it is with Jesus. And we've sought his hand so much that most of us don't know anything about his face. All we know about his power to give, and we know about his power to deliver, but we don't know anything about that closeness. Paul, I believe, spoke of it. If you'll turn with me, please, to the book of Philippians. I believe Paul here spoke of it when he wrote these words. This is what he's getting at, even though he does not use the word face. The book of Philippians, Paul had a desire in his heart, and he said in chapter number 3 and verse number 10, he said that I may know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Paul said, I want to know him. You say, but preacher, Paul's already saved there. Yes, he is. He's been saved for a long time. In fact, he's in prison when he's writing this. He's down yonder in a dungeon for his faith. So he's not talking about knowing Jesus in the free pardon of sin. He's talking about that close, that intimate, that as one fellowship with Jesus Christ where he could just literally hear the heartbeat of God. I tell you what, one day we bought our daughters a little old bitty a dachshund pup, and that thing barked all night long and howled all night long, and I was about ready to throw it over the cliff. And I said, now somebody better do something about that dog. There's not going to be a dog much longer. And you know what they did? They went in there and got a no alarm clock and wound it up and put it in wrapped it up in a rag and laid it in there with that little old puppy dog. And that little old thing turned over and went to sleep and never barked again. It heard that ticking in there. And it must have thought that it was his mama's heartbeat. And I thought, oh, hallelujah. If we ever get up close to Jesus, to where we know him, and we can lean upon his breast like John did, and can get the heartbeat of God, that's what it is to worship God. That's his face right there. Oh, the face of Jesus. We need to get some people acquainted with the face of God. You know, we don't see his face in church much. Don't y'all like it this way? Hey, don't y'all like it when you come in here? Man, people get to crying and a shouting and a praising God and a testifying, and they're not ashamed to hit the altars, and they're not ashamed to confess their faults one to another, and they're not ashamed to ask for prayer, and they're not ashamed to just let the inward Spirit of God move inside of them, and they're not afraid of outward emotion. Now, you know why? Because they want the face of God. But oftentimes we come in the house of God and we're afraid for anything to get started. Because we're somehow afraid of this thing of worship. I believe if we really had some worship, real worship, we wouldn't need as much preaching going on. There's something about worship that fills your heart and your soul and satisfies you. You ever gone home from church at midnight and felt like you hadn't been there 10 minutes? You know why? Because you saw his face. You know, you got in his presence that night. Oh, how we need that again in our churches.
I wrote these down. The first time the word face is used in the Bible is in Genesis chapter number 4. Genesis chapter number 4. Verse number 13. Cain had slain his brother, and Jesus, a fugitive and a vagabond, you'll have to till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield or strength. Cain said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Verse 13. He said, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. That's the reason Cain is gone down in the annals of God's word as a vile, wicked man, slew his own brother. God uses him as a type of those that judgment of God falls upon in the book of Jude. Oh, they've gone the way of Cain. They don't need the blood. And the only way you'll ever find the face of Jesus is through the blood of the Son of God. Man, I went home last night and I still are singing them blood songs. Oh, that blessed me last night. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilt and stain. When you go through the blood, you'll find the face of God through the blood of the crucified one. Isn't that a horrible thing? I think of all the phrases in the Bible, that right there is one of the saddest. He said, from thy face I'll be hid. I won't ever get to see your face. I got to thinking, you know, the other night I was laying there and I was thinking, you know, an old leper in the Bible. Can't you visualize a mother that suddenly leprosy struck her body, and she had these little children over here at her house, and she was the one that brought them into the world and loved them and went through the valley of death to bring them in. Then all of a sudden she one day got up and found a spot on her body, and somebody said, oh, I'm afraid that's leprosy. And she got up the next day and leprosy was spreading. It was spreading, and she went down to the high priest, and high priest looked at her and he pronounced her unclean and said, hey, you got leprosy. And the longer she lived, the more it spread until it got into her face, and it got into her lips and her neck and her eyes and her ears and her fingers, and finally they get an old dirty cloth and they wrap her up and cover her face up, and they lead her outside the camp and put her out yonder in a village outside the gate, and she never could get around anybody no more. She had to stay out yonder where the leper was, and if she saw anybody coming, she'd have to cover up that lip of hers, and she'd have to holler out where they could hear, unclean, 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 don't come near to me. Wouldn't it be sad for one day her little old boy wander outside the gate, head out yonder towards his mother, and the mother would have to say, son, get away from me. I stay away from me. I'm unclean. I'm unclean. You'll never be able to look upon my face again. I couldn't think of a more horrible thing except one. And that's when God's face is hid. Has it ever been hid from you? I've gone through periods I couldn't get a prayer above the ceiling. I'm just being honest with you. I've gone through periods when I got out and prayed, and I may as well have gone out in the hay field and hauled in hay. It just seemed like it bounced off. You ever pick up, Sister Betty, you ever pick up that book and start going through it and read 5 chapters and get through and say, man, I wonder what I read, and you can't even think of a thing that you read. You know why? Because his face is not shining on it. And there's other times you pick it up and you can't put it down. You know why? Because his face was shining upon you. And oh, if there's ever a day when we needed the face of God, we're not needing the hand of God so much as we're needing to seek his face. I read in the book of Revelation chapter 22, the last time the word face is used. Revelation chapter number 22 and verse number 4. Boy, I love this verse. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God, verse 3, and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. Oh, if you know, if you looked upon the face of God right now, you'd die. Literally. But one day you'll be able to see him face to face. Isn't that a glorious thought? See him face to face. Now back in the previous chapter, it gave the sentence the last time the word face will ever be used in connection with sinners. It said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the heavens and earth fled away. And there was found no place for them. You know, the thing that'll bother the old sinner is he'll be forever and ever excluded from seeing the face of the Lord Jesus. That's a privilege only saved people have. Now I want to say, where can I see the face of God? Well, you'll find his face around his house. I believe the Lord stays home a lot. Don't you? I believe God stays home a lot. I told Brother Richardson, here we go out on Tuesday night. I went out last Tuesday night, went to 10 houses, didn't find a fella home. Y'all ever have that trouble down here? Man, you look and you look and you look and you look, and nobody's home no more. And I say, my goodness, the Bible certainly is being fulfilled, because everybody's running to and fro. Everywhere, on the go, always on the go. Oh, I want to tell you something, you'll always find Jesus home. He'll always be at his house. I want to tell you something. If you want to find God, go to where he lives at. He lives in his house. I'm glad the church is a household of faith. It's a building of God. He'll always be where he lives. Now the fleshly revelation of his face, you'll have to come to Jesus to see it. You'll never know what God's like unless you come to Jesus. Something about Jesus that reveals God to you. When I wanted to know what God wanted, I came to Jesus. When I needed salvation, I came to Jesus. I like that sign right up there. Amen. You turn that around, it sounds good. Amen. Jesus is Lord, Lord is Jesus. Either way, it sounds good. Either way, it'd be the truth. In our day and time, we've got on this lordship salvation. Do you believe in lordship salvation? I sure do. Because Jesus is Lord. And he's the only one can save you. And you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. I want to say something tonight. We can see the face of God in the face of Jesus, his son. That's the only place you'll ever see it. In the face of Jesus. I got to look at the Word of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But in the book of 2 Corinthians, it said something like this. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. This is chapter 4 and verse number 3. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus tonight. Friend, I'm going to tell you what we need. We need to seek the face of God. How long has it been since you sought his face? Now you can tell me right off tonight. You can tell me right off tonight.
How long it's been since you sought his hand. Some of you probably sought his hand this morning. Lord, keep me safe now while I'm going to work. Help me not slide off in the ditch. Lord, keep me from getting the flu this winter. That's the hand of God. We seek that all the time. But I wonder how many of you sought this morning just be close to him. Just to snuggle up. Amen, just to snuggle up. Y'all remember when them little children small enough to snuggle up in your lap and get up close to you? Just snuggle up, didn't they? You didn't push them away, did you? No, sir. There's something precious about that. And I want to tell you, it's something precious when a child of God just kind of snuggles up. Brother Johnson down in Johnson, Tennessee says something like this, just scrooch up real close to him. I don't know whether that's Tennessee language or not, but he said, just scrooch up real close to him. You know what I mean by that? Oh, that's the face of God. When you can worship him. When you come in the house of God and there's joy in you. When you go out yonder at work and there's a song in your heart. You know, I'm just pretty much a happy person all the time. And I want to tell you something. People think you up to something when you're happy. I'm honest with you. Me and Brother James will go up to the hospital. He'll be saying Amazing Grace and I'm whistling something. And you know, it's amazing how many people think you're strange. And I can go down to McDonald's and I see these little two-wheel, four-wheel trucks about as long as that piano that are bouncing, boom, 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 and got the whole earth a-shaking. Y'all ever been around McDonald's on a Friday night? We got some brilliant children in Pulaski County. They circle around McDonald's all night long. And when it gets crowded, they'll pull in, go around Wendy's. Then going up to Burger Queen and boom, 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 whole night to shake and just seem like the whole atmosphere is a moving and stirring. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You've been at the stoplight when it sounded like everything behind you was about to shake apart on you. But if you're happy in the Lord, you're thought to be strange. It's time that some of our people saw the face of God and started acting like peculiar people. You got a song in your heart tonight? How many of you got something bubbling up inside there that just wants to, just sometimes you just want to shout and wake up everybody in the graveyard and tell them how great Jesus is? That's the face of God. And folks, we need some people to seek the face of God. Some of you young people need to seek the face of God. Or if you can learn what it is to seek his face rather than his hand. David said, the Lord said, seek my face. David said, all right, Lord, if that's what you want, I'm going to seek your face. You know what? I believe David found it. I believe David saw it. I believe Moses saw it, don't you? You remember when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and he came back down and had to put a veil over him, cover his face up. I believe he saw the face of God there. How long has it been since you've seen his face? That worship. That pouring out your heart to him. That yieldingness and fellowship. I want us to stand tonight. I hope I've got this across. How many here tonight, just with all of our heads raised, how many of you have understood what I preached tonight? Would you slip your hand up? The hand of God is when we seek God to do something for us in his power. The face of God is when we just seek to worship him. Want nothing. I believe Dottie Rambo wrote a song one time along the line, I didn't come to ask for nothing this time, Lord. Just came to talk with you. That's his face there. That's his face. Father in heaven, tonight, there's some heart here hungry just for your face. Oh, dear God, there's somebody here longing just to worship you, praise you, testify, witness, be a testimony for the grace of God. Lord, tonight, I believe if we'll have some people just get out this old altar and say, Lord, I just want to seek your face tonight. Lord, I just want to come and pour out my soul to you. Lord, I want to come and yield myself to you. I don't want to come, Lord, and ask for nothing. But Lord, I just want to worship you, commune, fellowship. And Lord, just glory in your presence. Magnify you. We sing a song, majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon my Savior's brow. And oh, dear God, if we could see that majestic sweetness of Jesus tonight. Lord, help somebody here to get out of old stale Christianity. Get out of an old stagnant, dead sea Christianity. And Lord, step over into the Red Sea, the Jordan River, the flowing waters of worship and seeking the face of Almighty God. The Lord, I hope that everybody tonight has understood what I've preached. Would you not open hearts now to receive it? We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. With our heads bowed, I'd like them just start playing.